Esther Tyree. And in the studio with me this evening is Durwood, hot off the festival circuit, comprised of Christopher DeShazzo, otherwise known as Shazarine, Ben Ray Pickett, otherwise known as Ben, and Jeremy Stewart, who has no alias and is just Jeremy Stewart. So welcome, guys. Hello. Thanks for figuring out how to get everybody in and talk about all the goings-on of musicians in this area.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, right
on. Thank you.
You're welcome. I know it's been a dialogue to do it, but that's kind of the nature of music and playing. You got to work out a schedule.
Indeed.
So who wants to kick it off?
What are we kicking?
Well, okay, so how long have y'all been a band?
We've been a band for a little under a year, 8 months.
Yeah, about 8 or 9 months.
8 months now, and just kind of slowly working. We got a 3-song demo out. We're trying to gather funds to finish a full length and just playing shows around town and eventually going to slowly branch out and do kind of a Gulf Coast circuit. But for now, just trying to get all our ducks in a row here in town and
I hear you.
Record an album.
Quack, quack. Those ducks are hard to get in a row. All right. So tell us a little bit about who plays what, who does what, and all that kind of good stuff.
Right on. I'm Chris. I play the drums. This is my buddy Ben. He plays guitar and sings. And this is my other buddy Jeremy, and he's the bass player.
You got buddies?
I got a couple buddies.
Just because we play in a band together doesn't necessarily make us friends. We're colleagues.
There you go. Peers.
Friends on Facebook. Yeah. Just because we're Facebook friends doesn't mean we're real friends. Okay?
Peers and colleagues. Well, then what's the nature of the vibe? What's the vibe of the music? I imagine it's singer-songwriter. You do your own stuff.
Yeah, it kind of stemmed from my own solo non-career of I've been writing songs for a long time since I was like 15, kind of folk country songs, and meanwhile playing in heavier bands, punk rock bands, and stuff like that. But I never really took the singer songwriter stuff to another level, and always was kind of finding a band. But I'm originally from Austin, Texas, and it was kind of hard to. I know that sounds weird, but the circles that I ran in, it was kind of hard to get that together in Austin. Mm-hmm. It's oversaturated, so. When I came here, I've been here for 5 years now, and the past year got these guys together, and it just kind of worked out, kind of elevating the acoustic songs and making them electric and a little bit louder, a little more, I don't know, Americana, or I don't know what to call it. But
so you're the preliminary songwriter person?
Yeah. We're all collaborative, but in terms of most of the songs, I had a few, and then I'll kind of sit down and write, and then we'll all sit down together and figure out the
format.
The format. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
This goes here, that goes there, cut that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and Jeremy, do any of you add in lyrics or have any ideas for it, or just kind of enjoying the ride and playing the part?
Yeah, mostly playing the part. Ben has really good songs. I've written a couple, and we do those. But, yeah, it's more of a collaborative effort. Ben, like you said, he writes most of them, and then we get together and put our parts to it. And if it all works out, and usually it does, it's been working really well. That's another reason why I like this band. It's really working.
Yeah. Sounds fun. All right. Well, you did bring in a demo to introduce CD number. Not CD track. No, it's a good song. Introduce track number one, and we'll have a listen.
Okay. This is Mercy Road.
That's it.
Another one of those.
It's the first song.
Does
on
it
our
explain
demo.
Itself?
I mean, yeah, kind of. It's pretty ambiguous. This one is. Doesn't have too many lyrics on it. I mean, it's mainly just about, you know, deciding to make your own path, and that, you know, basically life's what you make of it. I guess it's hard to describe. I tend to write songs in kind of an ambiguous fashion. For one, I'm not good at writing story songs. I've tried and they've all been thrown away because they just sound cheesy to me. I'm not good at writing like your traditional country, you know, chronological song. So
you got to do what the song says, Fon Jerry
Road.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. This one's more ambiguous than others, but it's Mercy Road.
Gotcha. Well, let's have a listen. I think let's have a listen. Maybe not. All right. Well, talk a little bit while I change tracks because that one ain't working.
Right. All right. Jeremy, you got any good jokes for the fine listeners of KRVS this evening?
Somebody take the wheel.
No jokes?
Well, I'll use this as an opportunity to plug our social media.
Right on.
You can find us on Facebook.
There you go.
At Durwood. You can find us on Reverb Nation. And YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Durwood TV.
And we will have an album out shortly, hopefully.
Subscribe,
by the end of the year.
Like, check it out.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll try this again because
okay.
I had a joke, but I think it's going to work.
All right.
I like that. If it lets me cheer dance, it's good. It's a neat little vibe. I'll be singing it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Driving down the road. Yeah, and I was going to say a joke, so I said it while we were listening. But anyway.
And it was hilarious.
If a drummer walks into a shop with his sticks, is it considered a stick up? And as my friend would say, go to bed, Esther. Yeah, it is 11:30. Well, at this point, what, 11:45 at night? 11:30, 40. Anyway, Shaz, you had a comment.
Oh, geez.
June, not geez, Louise.
Oh, right. What is it? June 10th, I believe. I'm pretty sure the warehouse is having a
That's Warehouse 535.
Warehouse 535 on Garfield is having a group of bands playing.
Little festival type situation.
And that should be coming up soon.
Yeah. About 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing with Lafayette. It's like they always want to have a festival.
Well, yeah. That's the only time you can be outside.
It's a great thing about Lafayette. Every month there's something, there's some sort of festival going on.
Yeah, and sometimes you get a weekend where there's 10 things and you're going, I don't know if I want to clone myself and I don't even know if it's possible yet.
Yeah, as soon as you try to recover and you think you're going to chill and get everything together, then another one pops up.
Yeah, festival was great. Yeah. That was awesome.
I had a friend post on Facebook, there's too many things going on tonight. And I said, tonight, talk about this weekend.
Yeah.
Like 6 things on my calendar.
Yeah.
So you
it's a good problem to have, though.
It is. It's right. Just challenging to try to make it all because you want to support your friends. It's just so many different arts expressions happening here between theater and dance and music.
Yeah, it's a neat little spot.
Then all the places at Art Walk that exhibit the visual arts, like ACA and the places downtown you're going.
Do you ever have any...
Never mind the writing things now that are coming up.
Any resentment towards fellow artists and musicians for missing each other's shows? Like, well, you never come to my show.
No, I understand. I mean, typically when you're an artist, musician, you're in the show. That's, you don't really have a lot of opportunity to go see other shows.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when I have the luxury of a night where there was no show or no rehearsal, what's my friends doing? Hey, I'm going to go see that. Mm-hmm. So I did. I grab those opportunities because for me, everybody says, well, how come we don't ever see you playing at festival? Dude, that's my week to soak.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I play almost every day of the week and I'm teaching almost every day of the week. And it's nice to go and listen to somebody else and their creativity and their project and support them and be inspired by somebody else's gifts and abilities.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Yep. So, Deshaz, did you start with drums?
No. Started with a guitar when I was a teenager and just plucking around the house. And then years later, started a band with this guy, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And then played guitar for a while and then moved to drums pretty much shortly after. But it was short-lived. Guitar, drums, some bass here and there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until Texas that I really moved to the drums and started playing that full-time.
Okay. And how about you, Ben? What'd you start with?
I started with guitar. Yeah. Actually, in third grade, I started violin lessons. So I played violin as a young buck, third grader, for a year or two, and then got a guitar. And that was really what I wanted to do. So
rock and roll.
I did that for a long time. And then I also started playing drums, and I played banjo, too.
You wanted to fret instead of be high strung, huh?
Yeah. There you go again.
So do you ever play the violin at all, or you just stick with the guitar?
No, actually, I recently have developed an urge to relearn. I like learning new things. I just picked up a pedal steel guitar, so that's been...
Those are cool.
Yeah, I've been locking myself in a room trying to figure that thing out.
I know, you kind of have to lock yourself away.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what about you, Jeremy?
I guess in grade school, I started on the alto sax and gave it up because I didn't like carrying it back and forth to school on the bus. And it wasn't until about late middle school, early high school, I picked up bass guitar and just played bass since then. You know, and like Chris said, we'd played in a band together and he called me up for this one, and I said, well, the last one worked out so well, we'll give it a shot and see. But, yeah, it's like Ben brings in most of the songs. Chris has been bringing in some songs, and I just call myself the primary turd polisher. You know, I just have to spit and finish on the songs, and then we're ready for prime time.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So there's two more tracks on this CD. What's the second one, Ben?
This one's called Grown Up. This one is – I kind of wrote out of frustration working at a commercial construction company in Texas, and I just, even though it was a good job, I was tired of it and tired of dealing with all the politics and the racism and the frustration. I realized I'd I'd rather make less money and do what I wanted to do. So I wrote this out of frustration, I guess.
Yeah, because contrary to what some people think, money ain't happiness.
Yeah.
And you run it after money, you go run yourself into a sad situation.
Amen to that.
All right, well, let's listen to Grown Up. And that's some popping guitar riffs. It's always that dilemma of how long do you let that resonance go? And I'm waiting for the boom on the drum to cut off the CD and put back on the mics.
It's fade outs.
Yeah. There's
fade outs on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like rat.
It's hard. I have to, when I'm in the car and there's a song on, I have to wait till the song's over and then I have to quickly get out of the car before the next one starts.
Yeah.
I want to hear the song. No, go.
We have a problem of when we play live, I think every one of our songs, even the slow ones, have like an epic drum roll, wait, and then hit the last note at the same time. We need to cut that out.
Right. You know,
it's a little bit much.
No, build it up. Build everybody up. Ah, and then drop them.
Yeah.
Boom. So talking about that, let's talk a little bit about the process of bringing a song to the table and then building it from just an idea that you have in your head of, I wrote the lyrics, here's the melody, adding in drums and
Yeah.
Bass and epic guitar solos and
well, I wouldn't call them epic.
Rocking drum beats.
They're usually I'll have I generally hear a melody in my head first before lyrics. Sometimes I'll have an idea for a song and I'll write it down, or a line that I think sounds good and I'll write it down, but I don't necessarily write words first. I hear a melody first. So once I get a melody and at least one verse down, sometimes I just repeat it over and over at practice until I finish writing the words, but we'll take it to them and just, you know, Chris will play a few beats and figure out what needs to happen. And it was just a three piece, so it's kind of hard to fill out, but it's also good because there's a lot of air, there's a lot of room to fill it out. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of open, I like to use a lot of open chords, and I use a different tuning than standard E. So, and a lot of times Jeremy will have a bass line that doesn't always follow the root note, and he has a lot of melodies of his own that kind of fill it up. So, I mean, Jeremy, how do you write a bass line? You hear the melody first and then you go with it, or?
I think it's a lot of experimentation, but it's one of the good things about playing in this band with a three-piece like that. And like Ben said, with it being open, I can venture off of the root note. I don't have to just play the standard root note of each chord. I can branch out and really hear if it works or not. And, you know, I always check with them if I'm kind of walking around on the song and everything to make sure it's not too much and you know, it's just right or whatever. So I get everybody to sign off on what I'm writing.
That's true. Like,
this is a legal binding document.
It'll go, and then it'll go to Jeremy, and then he'll put some bass line on it, and then, you know, my foot and his hand need to come together, you know, for the tempo, I mean, to make it sound, you know what I mean? My kick and his lines need to line up. You know?
Well, yeah, because that makes the pocket that they call
and
it
that's
for the,
where the pocket the happens,
vocals and then, the guitar.
Then you feel the melody and you feel the flow of the song, I think.
And sometimes the song that I write will end up having a completely different groove or timing to it, you know, than I initially had. And I still have a few that I'm trying to figure out even how to put it together as a full band.
Man, the audacity of those songs.
I know.
Behave.
I know.
And it's true, the song will tell you what it's going to do.
Totally.
Like, you have to listen to the song. Like, the song is going to tell you what to do. It could be completely different from what you write in the beginning.
In my experience, most art projects, you start walking down that road and you think you have this idea and it's going to go in. It's like, nope, we're going to make a U-turn. We're going to make a left turn. We're going to go down this path. We're going to get buried in the swamp. But it's going to come out all right.
Yeah. It's fun.
Well, a lot of songwriters always talk about the divine intervention of having just whatever muse come speak to you, and the whole song is laid out on a page, and the melody and the song, you know, you write it in 10 minutes and it's finished, and that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that
this happened to me once.
Yeah,
a couple times
happens.
It has, but it's never in its entirety. It'll be like a one verse or a one melody, and then it's.
I think I woke up at 3 in the morning and I had the guitar and I had the lyrics and the chords and it all wrote down in about 20 minutes, and then about 3 or 4 years later, this other melody started coming and went, that's a bridge to this song.
Yeah.
So it wasn't done, but
yeah.
It's like, what, all songs were that easy? No, it's not. Some come quickly, but you know, like what Susie Acock had the best description when I approached her about being on the show. You gonna let me tell how my babies got born? I said, you know what? That's a pretty good analogy for artists and their work. You have an idea, the conception, but you really don't have any control of what it's going to look like at the end. Mm-hmm. All you are able to do is foster and facilitate, talk and collaborate and just kind of nurture it until it's done. And you never know.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, we have one more song. It'll probably have to fade out because I have to give my... But I definitely wanted to play it because I thought it was 3:25 and you said no.
No, it's track 3. The song's 25.
Man, that's such an interesting title.
Yeah.
Why is it called 25? Is it got 25 chords?
No.
25 bars?
It has about 4 chords in it, but it's about my little sister. It's a bleak song about drug addiction.
Ooh. So. No, but you know, turn your scars into stars.
Yeah.
Well, Durwood, Deshaz, Ben Ray Pickett, and Jeremy. Glad to have you all on.
Thanks, Esther.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having
us. Carby,
oh, totally. This is Jesabe Pa, a production of KRBS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRBS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at KRBS.org. Get out and go see these guys this summer. And we're out with 25.
KRVS is licensed to the University of Louisiana at Lafayette by the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. We operate on an assigned frequency of 88.7 MHz with an effective radiated power of 100,000 watts. KRVS is also authorized to operate aural studio transmitter links WHB 300 and WLJ 739 on a frequency of 946 MHz. KRVS studios are located in Burke Hawthorne Hall on the campus of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, with main transmitter facilities located in Maxey, Louisiana, and backup transmitter facilities in Doosan, Louisiana. This Dusson property is made possible through an agreement with the Lafayette Parish School System, creating a brighter future and partnership with the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Find out more about KRVS and listen online at our website at krvs.org.